ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 5 द मीटिंग ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड वासुदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 Gopya Sumistra Manikundo Anishka Kantyash Chitrambara Patishikachuta Malavarsha Nandalayam Savalaya Rajatir Virajur Yalola Kundala Payodara Hara Shoba Gopya Sumrista Mani Kundala Nishka Kantyash Chitrambara Patikshika Chutamalya Varsha Nandalayam Savalaya Rajatir Virajur Yalola Kundala Padodara Hara Shoba
Can anyone recognize any words in the Sanskrit there? What does that mean? Yes. Anything else? Jewels, yeah. Where is that? What verse do you know it has money in it? Yes. Chintamani. Chintamani. Matak Paratharam Nanya Kinchirasti Dananjaya Mayi Sarvam Idam proktam sutre mani gana iva. Sutra mani gana iva. Sutra means a thread, and mani gana. So that's pearls. Certain types of jewels are called pearls. Mani gana. Anything else? What does kundala mean? What's that? Earrings. And what else? What does that mean? Hair. And what does chutya mean? Like achutya means what? What does achutya mean? That's ajita. Why don't you raise your hands? Especially if you get the wrong thing, it's not good to roll. You have three people shouting out the wrong answer. Enthusiastic. Can't hear the right one. Okay, what does it mean? That's ajita. Yes. Something like that, but not quite. In what way is the infallible? Ajita. Yes. Chuta means to fall down. So achuta means one who never falls down. And what does hara mean? Well, maybe you might get that. But what about shoba? Yes. That ashoka. What about, you never heard this word before? How many has never... think they've never heard this word before? Raise your hands. How many think they've heard the word before but they can't remember what it means? Every day, I think we hear most of us. I come late usually, but Venum quanantam aravinda dalayataksham, bahavatam samasitam buddhasungadarangam, kandarapakoti kamaniya vishesha. What does that mean? Yes, very beautiful. How many thought they knew half the verse? Actually, they at least some part. The problem is that usually when we look at the verse, we refuse to look at it. We're afraid of it. There's a certain amount of anxiety and fear. Looks so strange. All these, so we don't really look at it because it doesn't look very familiar. It's like seeing a very strange stranger walk up to you. You look at it, and you kind of like, you don't really see it. You don't want to see it. But actually, these verses should be, a lot of the words should be familiar. It's just like if we sometimes we say, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamana. So if we went over that, what does Om mean? No one knows what Om. I'm shocked. What does Om mean? What's that?
Namah.
Yeah. Nama, what does that mean? Vishnu. Not everyone knows what Vishnu is. You look it up. What's that? Krishna. Oh yeah, Vishnu, the maintainer. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prashtaya. Prashtaya, what does Prashtaya mean? Yes. Yes. Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Bhutale, yes. Bhu means this world, Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Iti Namine. Iti, thus. No. Yes, his name is known as. We see that, we're not so confused. But these verses also, if we learn them, just like we all learned the other that verse the other day, is that right? I'm sure everyone's remembering it. What is the verse? See, I told you, I just called on anyone. So we should learn these verses too, gradually. So Gopya, the gopis. Su, what does Su mean? Very. Mrishta, very dazzling. Money, made of jewels. Kundala, wearing earrings. Nishka, kantya, and having little keys and lockets around their hanging from their necks. Chitra Ambara. What does Chitra mean? What's that? No, that's Chita. Chitra. Means varieties. Many varieties of different things that are colorful. Chitra Ambara. Dressed with varieties of colored embroidery. Pati, on their way to Jasodamayi's house. Shika Chutya fell from their hair. Malya, what does Malya mean? Yes, garland. And Varsha, what does Varsha mean? What's that? Without looking at. It's like Parjanya. Let's see. Bardvarsha. No, it means a shower. Malya Varsha. A shower of flower garlands. Nanda Alayam. To the house of Maharaj Nanda.
Savalaya, with bangles on their hands. Rajati, while going in that costume. What is the Hindi for go? Gachi? What's the Hindi for go? Yeah. Gachanti? That's not... Jana. Gachanti. Here it's Gachanti. Chala. Chale. What is that? Chala. Chalo. 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 Reju. They looked very, very beautiful. Valoya. Valola. So what is Lola? Vya. Vya Lola. So Vya is, I think it's in strengthening it. So what is Lola? Have you heard that before? Lola Twam? That's a little bit different. Have you heard the verse? Alola Chandrika Rasan Vanavali Vangsi Ratnangadam Pranayakeli Kalavi Lasam Shaimam Trivanga Lolita Lalitam Yitapa Prakasham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Alola Chandrika Lasad Vanamala Vangsi Ratnangadam Pranayakeli Kala Vilasam Shaimam Trivanga Lalitam Nyata Prakasham Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. So here the word is Alola. Also in this verse is the word Vanamala. It means what? Vana means what? And Malya means garlands. So what is Alola Chandrika? What does Chandrika mean? Here it's translated a moon locket. So what is Alola? Alola. What's happening on for the moon locket on Krishna's chest? It's swinging. Aha, now you found out that the locket on Krishna's chest is swinging. Alola Chandrika Vanamala Vangsi Ratnangadam Pranakeli Kala Vilasam Shaimam Trivanga Lalitan Yata Prakasham Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. So Alola Chandrika Lasad Vanamala Vangsi. And here it says Vya Lola, moving. Vya Lola, moving. Kundala, with earrings. Payodara, with breasts. Hara, with flower garlands. You know what the difference between Malya and Hara means? Shobha, who appeared so beautiful. Translation. In the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from their necks hung metal lockets. Their hands were decorated with bangles, their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair flowers fell onto the street like showers. Thus, while going to the house of Maharaj Nanda, the gopis, the earrings, breasts, and garlands moving, were brilliantly beautiful. So how many devotees heard what I just said? How many didn't hear? How many too embarrassed to raise their hands? So in the ears of the gopis were what? What's that?
Raise your hands, especially when you get it wrong. What was in the ears of the gopis? Polish what? Shining what? Earrings. So in the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished, jeweled earrings. Beautiful, polished, jeweled earrings. What's the word for earrings? Kundala. And for beautiful? Well, here actually the word is jewels. Sumistra. Sumrista. Mrishta. Sumishta. And jeweled? Mani. And earrings. So here it says Kundala Gopya Sumishta Mani Kundala. In the earrings of the in the ears of the gopis were beautiful or dazzling, very dazzling, jeweled earrings. That's not unusual, is it? To have earrings in your ear. And from their necks were hanging what? Yes. Yes, metal lockets. So what's the word for metal lockets? Actually, the word here is Nishka Kantya, having little keys and lockets hanging from their necks. What's in the lockets? What's that? Of what? So they have little pictures of Krishna hanging from their neck. But Krishna was just born. Maybe they heard about him from the Bhagavatam. And Krishna? Chitra Ambara. And then it says, the hands were decorated with bangles. So that's not unusual. Their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair, flowers fell onto the street like showers. So what's the word for flowers fell to the street like showers? What's that? Yeah, Malya Varsha. And thus, while going to the house of Maharaj Nanda, the gopis, their earrings, breasts and garlands moving, were brilliantly beautiful. Jai, Shishi Radha Gopinath, Jai. So, Vyalola, Kundala, Padora, Padara, Hara, Shobha. So the flower garlands, the breasts, the earrings, they're all moving very beautifully. Or they were moving and they were beautiful. You could probably translate it, they're moving beautifully, or you can translate it that they were moving and they were beautiful. So, do we hear the verse better this time? Is it getting a little clearer? So what is being described here? Let's see someone else. Yeah. We only have two or three people participating. Ariane, what's being described? And what was in their ears? Sumishta means what? What is sumishta? What's that? Yeah, it's very dazzling and beautiful earrings. Sumishta, mani, kundala. And what else is being described here? Yes. What's the word for locket? Yes, kantya. Kantyash. Yes. Nishka, little jeweled, says little keys and jeweled lockets around their necks. What else? What about the garlands? What does Malya mean? Malya Varsha. Yeah, the flowers, they were moving towards the house of Nanda Maharaj, the flowers and the garlands were just falling onto the ground. Just like sometimes if you have a garland and you're dancing, you find all the little petals all around the ground. Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, that's what they have. They were whirling garlands around their heads, around their heads. And what else? Sa Valaya. Savalya means? What do they have on their hands? Yes, bangles. And their dresses were of, how is their dresses described? Chitra Ambara. What does Chitra mean? Yes. Yeah, different colored dresses. Chitra Ambara. So the gopis, they were rushing towards the house of Nanda Maharaj. They had in their hair all different types. They had some flower garlands in their hair, and they were varsha. They were falling onto the ground like showers, malya varsha. They had bangles around their hands, and they were dressed in different colored costumes. And in their ears, they had mani, sumrishta mani, kundala, very dazzling, beautiful, jeweled earrings in their ears. And what was moving? Vyalola, there was Padodara and Kundala, and what else was moving? Padodara, Kundala, and what else? No, that's Padodara, I think. Payodara. Payodara. And Hara, flower garlands, were very beautiful, and they were moving. So again, the translation. The ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from the necks, and the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings. So the word polished is here because they were very beautiful. They were very brilliant. So sumistra means very dazzling. So they reflected the light. So sumistra must mean that they were very... could mean that they were very polished and therefore they were very dazzling because they reflected the light. And the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from their necks hung metal lockets. Their hands were decorated with bangles, their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair flowers fell onto the street like showers. Thus, while going to the house of Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, their earrings, breasts, and garlands moving, were brilliantly beautiful. So it also means everything. The gopis were shobha. They were all very beautifully, brilliantly beautiful. So purport. The description of the gopis who were going to the house of Maharaj Nanda to welcome Krishna is especially significant. The gopis were not ordinary women, but expansion of Krishna's pleasure potency, as described in the Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmaya rasa prati bhavitabis tabirya eva nija rupataya kalabi goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuta govindam adi purushandamahang vajami. That's Brahma Samhita 537. You've heard that before? Where did he hear it? What's that? Yes, it's one of the verses in the greeting of the deities every day. Does anyone know what it means? You mean we listen to it every day? What does it mean? Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis tabirya eva nida rupataya kalabhi goloka eva nivisatya kilatma bhuto govindam adi purushantamahang vajami. What's Ananda Chinmaya? What's Ananda? Bliss. And Chinmaya? What's that? It actually means the spiritual energy. Chit Shakti is Chinmaya, is especially bliss and knowledge combined. So, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Abhis. This is describing Goloka Vrindavan, how in Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis are engaged in their rasa with Krishna, which is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's intense bliss and consciousness. And there in Nidra Rupataya Kalabhi, this is described, Prabhupada translates it in one lecture I have here. It's referring to the gopis. Anyhow, Ananda Chinmaya Nidra Rupataya Kalabhi refers to the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. It's in Nidra Rupataya, his own form, Kali B, who are parts and portions of his pleasure potency. So they're all expansions of Krishna, the gopis. And here the translation is, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, and the company of her confidence, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. And then, Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukapa Riksha Laksha Vrite Susuravir Abhipali Antam Lakshmi Sahasara Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purushangamahang Bhajami. Krishna is always worshipped by the gopis wherever he goes. Therefore, Krishna is so vividly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also described Krishna in this way. Ramya kachit upasana rajavadu varagena yakalpita. All these gopis were going to offer Krishna their presentations because the gopis are eternal associates of the Lord. Now the gopis were more jubilant because of the news of Krishna's appearance in Vrindavan. Ramya kachit upasana rajavadu varagena yakalpitaha. So this is also one of the verses written by, that sums up Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most important teachings. It is said that the person who's worshipful is Krishna, Tadama Vrindavanam. That, how does that start? That verse? What is the word for worship? Here's, what's that? I'm trying to remember. What is the, that Rajesha Tanus Tad Vrindavanam, that the person who's worshipful is Rajesha. The Rajesha refers to Nanda Maharaj, and Tanu means the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Ramya Kachit Upasana Rajavadu Varagena Yakalpita. And the method of the conceived of by the gopis, there's no better method of worshipping Krishna than that method which the gopis conceived of. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Alayam, that the proof, the best evidence is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Maharta Puman. And the goal is what? Yes, Prema Pumarta Mahan Puman. The goal of all this is to obtain love for Krishna. So here the gopis have love for Krishna and they follow this advice that there is no better person to worship than Lord Krishna. And also equally worshipful is Lord Krishna is Tad Vrindavanam, which means Vrindavan is also as worshipable as Krishna. And there's no better method of worshipping Krishna than that which is conceived of by the gopis, or the method of the gopis. and to find out how the gopis worshipped Krishna, that you can read Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're doing now. And the goal of doing all this is to develop prema pumartha mahan, puman, to develop love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which we hold in the highest regard. And so love for Krishna, Prabhupada explains in a nice verse, is developed by hearing. These transcendental narrations, just like it may seem that we're torturing the devotees by getting them to learn these verses. But actually, believe it or not, that this is the method of developing love for Krishna. That when we hear, we should actually perceive what we're hearing about. We should try to visualize these words, and then we'll be actually hearing them. If we can't visualize, and to find out how the gopis worshipped Krishna, that you can read Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're doing now. And the goal of doing all this is to develop prema pumartha mahan, puman, to develop love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which we hold in the highest regard. And so love for Krishna, Prabhupada explains in a nice verse, is developed by hearing. These transcendental narrations, just like it may seem that we're torturing the devotees by getting them to learn these verses. But actually, believe it or not, that this is the method of developing love for Krishna. That when we hear, we should actually perceive what we're hearing about. We should try to visualize these words, and then we'll be actually hearing them. If we can't visualize them, if we can't see them, then what have we heard? We haven't heard anything. Although we've heard it's purified just to sit here, but it may be a little purifying, but it's much more purifying if we actually perceive what we're hearing, because these are spiritual sound vibrations. So Prabhupada in one lecture, if I can find it. This must be in here. The gradual process of the development to the stage of devotional service is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. The beginning is to hear about Lord Krishna and the association of devotees who have themselves cleansed their hearts by association. Hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord result in one's feeling transcendental bliss always. So we should all be feeling transcendental bliss now. It is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that for one who has actually come to the spiritual platform, the first symptom visible will be that he is always joyful. This joyful life is obtained by one's reaction to reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or else from associating with persons who are very interested in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness, specifically those who have made the determination to achieve the favor of Govinda by engaging in transcendental loving service at his lotus feet. Being encouraged by such feelings, one who is constantly engaged in discharging the regular principles of devotional service in such a way as to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develops two principles of compelling force, which come under the heading of Vibhava or Vibhava. Thus one enjoys transcendental bliss. So this is the development of transcendental bliss. There are five different categories. The first one is called Vibhava. Does anyone know what Vibhava means? Vibhava means, that's Stai Bhava. Vibhava means that which attracts one to love Krishna. That's very complicated. In other words, those things which help us develop love for Krishna are called Vibhava, and has two divisions known as Alambana and Udipana. And Prabhupada translates them as basic in his book, Nectar of Devotion, which is Alambana, and Impelling, which is Udipana, or impetus giving. So when we see Alambana, or as Prabhupada translated as basic, has two divisions. One is Ashraya, and the other is Vishaya. So who's Ashraya? No. Excuse me? Yes, the devotee. So the devotee is a kshatriya. And who is the principal devotee? Yes, Srimati Radharani. And does anyone know a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where the word kshatriya is used? Maya shakta manat parata. Maya ashakta manat parata. Yogam yunjan marashraya. Marashraya. Taking shelter of me. So here we see the word ashraya means principally Srimati Radharani. And in this verse that we, in the Brahma Samhita, Nidra Rupataya Kaladi indicates that the gopis are expansions of Radharani's body. They have the same, they're just like Radharani. They're facsimiles of Radharani. Therefore, taking shelter of Radharani, taking shelter of the gopis, mat ashraya. So Krishna says, maya sakta manakparata yogam yunjan manashraya. Mat ashraya. Take shelter of me means to take shelter also of Krishna's beloved servants. Or the Srimati Radharani and the gopis, Krishna's internal pleasure potency. And how do you do that? Maya asakta, put the mind on Krishna. So this asakta means by attachment. So the mind has a tendency to be attached, and we may be doubtful whether or not I should spend the time trying to attach my mind to Krishna. To go through this whole effort, it seems very strenuous. Krishna says, that which in the beginning is just like poison. Visa yendriya samyoga. That which in the beginning is just like poison and at the end is just like nectar. Yattaragre vishamiva parinome ritopama. Ritopama. Yattaragre vishamiva. So at the beginning it's poison because we don't have very much of a taste for putting our mind upon Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, by practice, ata chitam samadatum, nasakshnosi maistiram, abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchantun dananjaya. So we have to practice, and it takes a little force, trying to fix the mind upon Krishna. For instance, we went through this exercise of trying to hear what the verse is saying. It's easy to sit in class and kind of like just wait, you know, maybe he'll stop speaking soon. It'll be time for prasadam, all this heavy philosophy. But actually, it's not heavy philosophy. It's very especially we're in the 10th canto. These are very beautiful descriptions of the gopis' earrings, very nicely polished, highly polished jeweled earrings and garlands swinging and their flowers falling from their hair like showers and very beautiful colored dresses and the gopis hurrying along the path to Nanda Maharaj's house. They're shobham, they're so beautiful. These are very beautiful, but by force we have to put our minds upon these things because we're not very much attracted. But if we do that, Marashraya, take shelter of these descriptions, take shelter of the internal energy, then gradually the mind will naturally become purified and they'll become yattaragre vishamiva pariname ritopama. Then it becomes just like nectar. So it's not going to be very pleasant in the beginning trying to concentrate the mind upon Krishna or the descriptions about the gopis or their associates. It's not very easy. But if we do that, then we'll be able to enter into the internal energy of Krishna and experience transcendental happiness. That's why the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the first thing, as I was saying, vibhava, we have to take shelter of the ashraya, which means Srimati Radharani, her associates, all the devotees. And then the second is vishaya, which is who? Krishna. So these two objects, the Krishna, Vishaya, and Ashraya, the gopis and all the devotees. And Udipana means those things which invoke will help us remember Krishna, which invoke remembrance of Krishna. So this is called vibhava. And then from there, when one becomes absorbed in vibhava, then anubhava, all the symptoms of dancing and chanting, they manifest. And vyabhichari, all the different types of emotions, unusual emotions, 32 ecstatic emotions develop, like feeling death, the becoming morose. And from that, also, there are 8 different sattvika bhavas. Does anyone know a sattvika bhava? There are sattvika bhava, ashta sattvika bhava. Ashta means 8. There are 8 sattvika bhavas. What's that? Yeah, what are some of the ecstatic symptoms? Yes. Yes. Do we ever sing about this? When do we sing about it? What's that? Taranga Bhajo. Yeah, we should know these things. It's not hidden in the Sanskrit language. It's esoteric. So that's called Ashta Sattvika Bhava. And then finally there's the Stayi Bhava, continuous ecstasy, the permanent constitutional ecstasy. And when these things combine together, they produce rasa, and when rasa is there, then one comes to his, there are 5 different rasas, known as Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasas. So when these 5 ecstasies combine, they produce rasa, one's constitutional relationship with Krishna. One of these 5 rasas. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Where did that come from? What does that have to do with verse? Where did you get that from? Yeah, but why are you asking if they never do? Did I ever say? Did I say in the lecture? Who said like that? Did you ever look up? Did you ever look at? You heard that? And now there's no books to look it up to find out. Did you ever look it up in a book to find out? Yeah, give me an argument that says that the gopis are never jivatattva. What kind of argument is that? That means that the souls are not expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency. If you look up in the 10th canto, you'll find about all the different types of gopis who came. For instance, the sages at Naimisharanya, when they approach Lord Ramachandra, Danyakaranya, when they approach Lord Ramachandra, were they jiva souls? What did they become? You know what they prayed for? To embrace Krishna. That's. You never read about that? The sages at Danyakaranya who went approached Lord Ramachandra? What did they ask him for?
The comfortable relationship.
Did he grant it? So those who have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, what are they called? So did they become gopis? So were they jiva souls? Did they become gopis? So I guess if you're a jiva soul, you can become a gopi. You can't become Radharani, but you can become a gopi. There are different types of gopis. There's Priya Sakis, there's Priya Narma Sakis, there are different types of, there's the Manjaris, so many different types of gopis. Yes?
You said in the middle of
Dlatego that we should remember the verses. Actually, there is a way to develop the love of Krishna. You said that we should perceive something when we listen to the verse Ananda, or is it possible to perceive something from the verse without properly remembering the verse?
Probably not. How are you going to perceive bliss? Of course, there's some statement in the Bhagavatam. If a devotee is present, an elevated devotee, from his heart there may be some reflection. By his absorption in Krishna consciousness, he may reflect in the atmosphere that ecstatic emotions. And someone may experience that. But that's called shadow attachment. And there are different types of shadow attachments. But the real attachment is to think about ourselves. How can you love someone unless you're aware of them? How can you love Krishna and his associates unless you become aware of them? And how are you going to become aware of them unless you hear and perceive who they are? We can't imagine who they are, but we can perceive who they are through hearing. Then if we're hearing, we're absorbed in thinking about them, remembering these, then we can feel their presence, and then we'll experience some transcendental happiness. Otherwise, it's not possible. Good idea. Sukadeva Goswami did it. If you forget one or two verses, you could probably get away with it. But we should absolve ourselves in remembering at least part of it. Devotional service and remembering Krishna. When we're doing devotional service, we should remember Krishna. And to remember Krishna means to remember the descriptions in the Bhagavatam or in the Brahma Samhita or other such literature. There is two different types of remembrance. I forget the technical words. There's one which is just like a snapshot. These verses are just like snapshots of the spiritual world. And in the hearts of the self-realized souls is flowing a river, an ocean, or rivers of these pastimes constantly flowing within their hearts. And so they give us snapshots of these transcendental pastimes. It's like a movie constantly going on in their heart in the spiritual world. So they give us a little, just like photographs of it, instead of the whole movie. But if we develop the desire and tendency and absorption remembering these photographs, then gradually we'll start remembering the movie too. And then it's not hard to remember the verses. They just flow, just like the waves of the river, one after another. But since they're not flowing in our heart right now, we have to practice. Or else they'll never stop flowing. We have this good fairy kind of idea of Krishna consciousness. I'll be a good devotee, and one day the fairy will come with her magic wand and touch me on the head, and all the verses will just start flowing from my heart, through my heart, that I don't really have to sit down and practice and study and learn these things. It'll all just happen magically. Of course, to a certain extent it does happen magically. By practicing devotional service, it helps purify our heart or create the proper environment. It creates a fertile field. So when the seed of these verses are put into our heart, they're able to, you know, produce fruits and flowers. So we want to cultivate through devotional service, cultivate the garden of our heart. And so when the seeds of these verses are put in, we get a garden of love of Krishna. And at the same time, without the seed, even though you have a nice garden, you have a nice fertile field, but without the seeds, nothing's going to be produced either. So it has to be a combination of both this hearing and chanting and memorizing Krishna and performing devotional service. Then love of Godhead will sprout within our heart. We'll be able to enjoy the fruits called love of God. Prema Pamartha Mahan. Therefore it says that love for Krishna is that to worship Krishna is the and the Vrindavan, that the worshipable objects are Krishna and Vrindavan. There's no better method of worshipping Krishna and Vrindavan, that which is conceived by the gopis. Ramya kachet upasana, brajavadu, kalpya kalpita, argana kalpya kalpita. That which is conceived of by the gopis, and the way of doing it, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam prema pamartam ahan. Then we can get love of Godhead. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion. He holds these things in highest regard. Yes.
By a few snapshots to develop this love.
You get a little bit. The smallest particle of love is called Shraddha. And when it intensifies, then you associate with the devotees. It's called Sadhu Sangha. And when it intensifies more, then you want to follow the principles. It's called Bhajana Kriya. And when it intensifies more, then Anartha Nivritti. And when you become purified of unwanted habits. And when it intensifies even more, it's known as Nishta, or steady devotional service. And then finally, there is ruchi, a taste, a sakti attachment, bhava, emotion, and prema, love. So it develops in gradually. The more we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then the more the love manifests. Yes.
So should we understand that Arjuna, when he was killing all these millions of warriors and during the battle field of Kurukshetra, he was also thinking about Krishna, or he was just concentrated on
Krishna? He saw Krishna everywhere.
Sorry?
He saw Krishna everywhere. That's why Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita.
Because for me it's quite difficult to imagine that someone is engaged in killing other person, and in the same time he's thinking about Krishna.
Yeah, because that's why we're conditioned souls. If we weren't conditioned souls, we could understand it very easily. But Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapakeja, Pandita Samadarshana. One who's a pandit, he can see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahmin, the cow, the dog eater, and the outcast, or the elephant. So one who's self-realized, he sees Krishna in everyone's heart, along with Lakshmi Devi, or Radha and Krishna. He doesn't have to make a special effort. That's what he sees. He sees Krishna everywhere. So it's not like he has to try to see Krishna. That's what he sees. But for us, to figure out how to string a bow and put it on the quiver, and at the same time try and remember some verse from the Bhagavad Gita, seems extremely difficult. But that's because we're conditioned souls. But one who is on the platform of Krishna consciousness, the actual platform, for him it's just natural. Just like we see presently according to our conditioned vision, so a self-realized soul sees according to absolute spiritual vision everywhere at all times. He doesn't have to make any effort.
Then it looks even more difficult for me, because if I look at a person and then I can see Krishna within his heart, and then I'm going to kill the person.
But you can't kill the person. How can you kill the person? That's the whole purpose, point of the Bhagavad Gita.
I can kill the body, not the soul, of course. But I'm saying that if I see the Krishna, and in the same time I'm killing the person.
But you can't kill the person. How can you kill the person? You can kill the body. Just like if you have a certain sweater on, and I take your sweater off for you. Are you going to become very, saying, I can't take your sweater off, what's going to happen to you? So if you can actually see, according to reality, that actually Arjuna, he was just simply changing their dress. And what dress were they going to get? They were going back to the spiritual world, to live forever, eternally. Or some of them maybe went to the heavenly planets to get a very beautiful dress. Nice, fresh, beautiful, much more beautiful dress than they had now. So if you had an old, ragged dress on, and I took it off and gave you a very beautiful new one, would you feel bad about that? Would you feel bad? So Arjuna didn't feel bad either, because he understood things properly. They were going to get much more beautiful bodies, which would last for much longer. Some of them eternal bodies, spiritual bodies. Yes.
So you have a natural tendency to be attracted to one of the devotional services. Should you try yourself to like the other types of devotional service also? For instance, when you like reading and not exactly you're very much attached to dress the deities, should you try to dress the deities or something like that? Like you're teaching today, eh? Usually I'm attached to learn a language, but now I was not prepared, so it's very difficult for me. So I think, is it useful to get to become attached to learn Sanskrit more? And I try to be aware of what I say or what I sing, but in my own language, I know what I'm doing. So. To know the words, should I give it more a try more when I'm not inclined to do it?
Yes. We should learn it. Either in your language or in the Sanskrit, but it's easier. The Sanskrit, then it's easier. When you see a word, mani, kundala, then you'll remember earrings. You'll remember other verses which also have Mani Kundala, Mani Kundala. Chintamani. You'll remember the verse for Chintamani. That's called, and you'll be able to relate it to other pastimes and qualities and different forms of Krishna. So it's easier to assimilate. But if you just want to learn your own language, that's all right too. But somehow or another, we should absorb the mind in Krishna. That's the point. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.